Welcome to the latest edition of the Ask Qubit About Analytics podcast, brought to you by Qubit, the trusted experts in analytics. Our goal is to cut through the jargon and hype around analytics and data science and share practical advice to guide you on your analytics journey. You can find us at qubit.com, that's Q-U-E-B-I-T.com. Thank you for joining me today. I'm A.G. Tan. Hello, everyone. Thank you again for tuning in to the Ask Qubit About Analytics podcast. I'm your host, A.G. Tan, and I'm really excited today to be talking to Beth Thomas, who's the general manager of our financial and operational performance management group. I'm sorry, that's a mouthful, FOPM for short. And now Beth is a very experienced and accomplished and polished business professional. She's a great leader and an excellent manager. She cares about everybody on her team, and she still also keeps an eye on the big picture for the business. And I'm going to out her today because she is also my favorite financial planning and analysis nerd. So, Beth, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. What a great introduction, AG. Thank you for all those wonderful compliments. Really excited to be here, and I actually, don't mind being called an FP&A nerd.
Awesome. So Beth, it's fun being with you here today because you and I share this passion. But let me start my first question with. Corporate finance and performance measurement can be a bit of a dry topic. I'm guessing that some people listening to this are sort of wondering, what it really has to do with analytics and whether they really want to listen. And I beseech you all to keep listening. So it can be a bit of a dry topic, even though I'd say the financial planning and analysis or FP&A function is really critical in any organization. So maybe you can sell us a little bit on it. Can you tell me why you're so passionate about it?
Sure. So I suppose some people might find it to be a bit of a dry topic, but I really live for this stuff. And what really drives me and makes me passionate is the ability to make an impact on a business. So what do I mean by this? Data tells a story and has been telling stories for a long time. And these stories can be told via the P&L, the balance sheet, or a myriad of operational reports. And there are so many organizations of all different shapes and sizes that just don't have insights into their business because they aren't harnessing the power of their data in a timely fashion to be able to make changes and improve the performance of their business. And at its most basic function, simple reporting on data can provide insights and drive actions within the business. And that's really what excites me, is empowering people to make that impact on their business.
So let's unpack that a little bit, because you mentioned the word timely, because, certainly every company of a certain size and certainly every public company has to produce financial statements, the P&L, the balance sheet, and so on. And are you saying that companies may be producing these, but they're not doing it in a sufficiently nimble way to be able to act on it? Or are you saying that some companies don't, really look at these financial statements closely enough to understand the story of the business? Can you maybe elaborate a little bit on that?
Sure. So I've worked with a lot of companies, and I see this a lot. People are always trying to reduce their close cycles, and some of them are very successful at it. We see companies that close in a day. We see companies that close in 16 days. And after that, you obviously get the financials, even for public companies. But once you get the financials closed, and if you're on the longer end of the close cycle, say you're halfway through the month, the following month, then you have to get that information out to the people who actually manage the operations in the field, or make some insight on the financials that you notice that something's overperforming, which is great, you want to harness that, or something's underperforming, you want to cut it, try and correct that for whatever reason as soon as possible. And if you're not getting your operational or P&L reports or financial reports out to your managers who are in the field in a timely fashion, it could be a month before they even get the data from a month prior. So that's a whole month of impact that you didn't have on your business that you could have had if you had that information in your hands, you know, 2 or 3 days after the month is closed, or even operational data can be provided on a daily basis or even quicker than that for some organizations.
Right. So an example of operational data might be, you know, sales in some particular region of some particular product suddenly plummeting, right? And perhaps it's one product within a larger product group, and maybe people haven't, you know, maybe the financial people are only looking at the total product group, and the operational people are the ones who might look at the detailed product within that product group and say, hey, you know, what's going on here? We should look into this. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
Right, exactly. And that's just one example. You know, you could think of the inner workings of any company and what really drives their business, whether it's service hours, if you're in, you know, medical or dental services, it could be all of a sudden you've lost one of your practitioners and you could have someone to replace them if you had known sooner, but instead you've lost a whole month of revenue.
Right, right, right. And obviously that's assuming that you're a bigger practice than just like three people. And obviously you would know that you'd lost somebody, right?
Right, right. In a larger scale organization, but it could also be in a smaller scale organization as well, I suppose.
Yeah.
Maybe more than three people.
No, absolutely. Actually, you know, just in case we have anybody listening who's not familiar with the close, you know, I think of the close as sort of the end of the month. You know, like not all data is necessarily available, you know, at the same time. And so you put in a kind of like a stop point at the end of every single month that gives you time to make sure all the data through the end of the month is collected and you know, processed or categorized correctly before you then release it so that you're seeing an apples and apples picture month to month to month. Is that a fair definition of the financial close here?
Yes, and I actually think it came from the term closing the books, which back in the olden days, they actually used to write the transactions on pieces of paper and probably within a ledger book and then close the book and put it on the shelf.
I love that picture. That's very helpful. Thank you. I'd like to dig in a little bit deeper into specific examples. So can you maybe give me some specific examples of situations where a performance measurement and reporting process helped a company to correct course and address a problem?
Sure. So just a few months ago, I was working on a $4 billion company, and they did their reporting and planning in Excel. It's sometimes shocking when you walk into these big names and find out that they're doing it in Excel. And they had a team of people whose job it was to gather all the data from the disparate systems, put it into Excel to generate their basic P&L. And they also had a similar process for generating their planning. So all of this time and effort was going into just collecting the data to use for reporting, and also collecting the data to just pull together a basic plan. It wasn't spent on analyzing or doing what-if scenarios. So what they could have been spending their time on and what they spend their time on now is analyzing and providing insight into areas of the business that they could leverage or impact, you know, reduce poor performing areas. And they also didn't have the time or technical capabilities to focus on strategic what-if planning. They couldn't pivot on the data in their spreadsheets to run scenarios such as, what if we increase prices on a product line in a specific region? Or what if there's risk in certain currencies overseas in areas that we operate in? What impact would that have on their business? They had to spend all their time, you know, focusing on just gathering the data and trying to get it to tie out. I mean, it's a huge exercise. Anyone who's ever been a financial analyst or worked in an FPA department at some level knows if you're doing it in Excel, it's a huge exercise. So we essentially put technology to work for them to enable them to focus their time on making decisions regarding their business instead of spending all their time and effort collecting data and consolidating it into Excel spreadsheets.
Yeah, well, they potentially still get to use Excel, right? But not, you know, but they're relieved of that pain of cutting and pasting and, you know, manipulating lots and lots of row sets within Excel.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we all know I'm a finance person and you will never pry Excel out of my my hands. And we would never want to do that to finance professionals. But it basically takes Excel and puts, you know, a big, powerful database that's accurate and also collects data from many sources behind the Excel that you love, so that, you know, you can still use Excel however you'd like, but it really gives you much more power behind it.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, your story about spending all this time, you know, collecting data and then having no time left for analysis reminds me of when I used to be in university and the exams were coming up. I would spend a lot of time organizing my notes, and I would feel as though I'd accomplished something after I had all my notes nice and neat, but it took a long time and I had no time left to actually study, which was the real value add thing, right?
Yeah, that's a great analogy.
That is so true. And obviously, you know, I'm in the same business as you and I've seen this too. So it's a great example. Thank you. So Beth, you know, great discussion so far, and we're coming up to the final part where I like to ask you for advice, ask my guests for advice. So what do you think some companies get wrong about, you know, FP&A and their, you know, financial planning and analysis function and reporting, which obviously is a big part of it? And do you have any advice for how companies can get better value out of the function?
Absolutely. Many high-level finance executives may not even know that their process is so manual and how much more they could be making an impact on their business by leveraging technologies and data analytics. Taking the first step in the data analytics journey by stepping out of Excel can be really easy and extremely fruitful. And will be the stepping stone for all the really cool stuff that, you know, you said this is drive, like the AI and machine learning. So taking that first step is really important on that analytics journey where you'll continue on to AI and machine learning. And I think that some finance folks are scared of what it might take to make that plunge, but you can get some really great value with a short implementation period these days. You know, the technology is there to enable everybody to do more than what they did in the past. So, you know, earlier I talked about the paper ledgers, closing the books. You know, we would never go back to writing our journal entries on sheets of paper in a ledger. So why would you still plan and report in Excel the way that you do now when you could enable this technology to improve, you know, FP&A, your whole function, and make an impact on your business? So I would say, you know, my advice would be to really find a partner that you feel understands your business and that you trust, and take the first step, because it's probably going to be a lot easier than what you think it might be.
Huh? You know, it's interesting to me, you know, that you use that analogy of, you know, we wouldn't go back to doing journal entries in Excel. I think I wonder, because I love Excel. I mean, I see Excel as a programming language for finance people, and you can be so creative with it. You can, you know, it's fun to build things in Excel as well, right? But the challenge is that, you know, at some point, especially when you have a lot of data or you start having a lot of scale in your business, you know, you start hitting, you know, Excel's limitations. I wonder if part of the problem is that the people are comfortable with Excel. They know that one way or another, they can get the job done, even if it means staying up late and working weekends. And so it's hard to imagine that there's anything out there that could possibly alleviate some of that. Like, you know, it's just hard to imagine if you've not experienced it before. Do you think that's part of the problem, why so many companies stay in Excel for so long?
Yes, absolutely. And not to correct you, but my example was actually writing journal entries on the ledger paper. but it also, you know, what I'm saying is get out of Excel. not forever. There will always be different parts of your business that you want to model and excel. But if you're spending all your time just doing something that, you know, technology can do for you, what value are you adding during that time? And you really could be if you had those numbers immediately at the tip of your hands instead of the weeks, months, years that you pour into the annual budget, the forecast, the reporting, all of that time was just spent at like, let me take a look at these numbers and see what story they're telling me. It would be so much more value added to, you know, the organization, just being able to actually do the analysis portion of the FP&A function instead of just consolidating data. But I always think there'll be a place for Excel, but it is hard to imagine for some people the time savings that's actually out there once you put the technology to work.
Right. You know, it's really about, you know, being familiar with the tools that are available, right? Because, you know, people have heard me say this before. I've got this analogy of my favorite, you know, kitchen knife, right? And I've got a wonderful kitchen knife, you know, cost me $100, which was a lot more than I thought I needed to spend on a kitchen knife, but it's just awesome, right? I can chop stuff in it, you know, it's simple, it's right there. But sometimes when I'm cooking, it would be a lot quicker if I pulled out my food processor and chopped everything in the food processor. But then I'm thinking, oh, you know, God, I have to take the food processor off the shelf and then I'm going to have to wash it afterwards. And it's just not worth it. But if I actually look at the time, the total time and the quality of what I'm going to get at the end, it would have been worth it. You know, it's just that sometimes there's this like inertia that stops you from doing it.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, that quality at the end is another big point, because coming, you know, I was formerly a manager of FP&A, and I would just have that level of anxiety. Are these numbers really right? Did I tie out those 25 spreadsheets? Did I miss a link? I mean, it's a lot of stress trying to make sure that the quality is there. And it takes a lot of energy to do that quality and accuracy piece as well. And, you know, using a technology that takes care of that for you, you know, is very freeing.
Yes. I mean, I think that's the part of the equation that sometimes senior finance executives don't realize, right? Because they think, well, you know, I've got some good people, they get the job done, there's no problem. But, you know, they're really living in you know, on the edge of risk, which frankly most finance people wouldn't like to admit, right? Because they're only one small, fairly innocent mistake away from some major errors in their financial statements. And you know, why put yourself in that position when there are actually ways to seriously mitigate that risk, especially for you know, regular reporting, right? You know, not the once-off ad hoc stuff necessarily, which you still have Excel for, but there is certain reports that you need to do, you know, every month on a regular basis with the same set of data. So why wouldn't you leverage technology to automate more of that?
Exactly. Well put.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Beth. It was really fun chatting with you today.
My pleasure. Thank you, AG.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you for listening. We would love to hear from you. Do you have anything you would like to ask Qubit about analytics? You can tweet us at AskQubit or email us at info@qubit.com. That's info@QUEBIT.com. Until next time.